This morning, I want to look a little bit at the mission of the church. What is the church? What is the mission of the church? I know I talked a little about this at the beginning of summer, but as we're, today is our kickoff Sunday. We're kicking off, so many of our ministries start again in September, and so I just want to look at a little bit at the life of the church, the mission of the church, and even beginning with what is the church? And so before we get into the word, let's just open in a word of prayer. Father God, this is your word. And so, Father God, through your Holy Spirit, would you teach us from your word this morning? I am weak, I am frail, and so through your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you speak? God, would you open our hearts? Would we hear your word? Would we understand your word? And would we apply your word in each and every day of our lives? God, we thank you for it and pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We often refer to this building as church. So we would say, often we would say, well, this morning, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I'm going to church. I'm going to, in fact, some of the times when I'm coming here during the week, well, Dad, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to the church, going to the building. But that's not what the Bible or a biblical understanding of what the church is. In fact, the word church is a translation of the Greek word ekklesia, which is defined as an assembly or called out ones. So it's not referring to these outer walls of this building at all. The root meaning of church is not that of a building, but of people. Romans 16, verse 5 says, greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church that is in their house. So you're not going to greet the building, good morning, church. How are you this morning? We don't talk typically, or I hope we don't talk to the building that way. I hope you never find me that way. But that's not what he's saying. Paul refers to the church in their house, not a building, but it's in fact a body of believers. So the church is referring to those who have come humbly by repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's who the church in the Bible is referring to. So it's not the building, it's the people. It's believers, in fact, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And God indwells every believer permanently. In fact, we are his temple. You remember back in the Old Testament, it talked about the temple of God where God is, where God was. And so the children of Israel, you remember on Mount Sinai, just after they had sinned and made idols, well, God actually said, build a temple in the midst of you. I want to be right in the center of you people, because he loved them. He cared for them so much. And so then, prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, God dwelt in the midst of them, but he was in the temple. He didn't live in each of the believers. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So for every believer, everyone who says, who comes to Jesus and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, at that point, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell every person. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? That's an incredible verse. We're not going to unpack it all, but it's speaking of the temple. Where is the temple of God? Where is God's temple? Is it in the middle of the town of Osler? No, it's in each one of us. In the center of each one of us is the temple of God. We are the temple of God, in fact. I remember as a kid being told, don't run in this area of the building. We call it the sanctuary. This is the holy place. Don't run in here. As a youth pastor, we were often told, don't run in this place in the sanctuary. Well, I didn't understand the meaning of it really at all. Now, I have no problem with respecting this space. I have no problem respecting and telling my kids, don't run in and around when people are here because it's dangerous. You're going to knock somebody over. There's people walking everywhere. There's young children. There's people with children. And so there's an aspect of it's dangerous. But does running in this, let me ask you this question. Does running in this room grieve the Holy Spirit? Just answer in your heart. Does running in this room grieve the Holy Spirit? You see, I am the temple of God. And then it's interesting because we're saying, at one level, we're saying, don't run in this room because it's holy. That's the perception that I got from it. Why is this room holy? We are holy. I am holy. The holy God lives in me. Yes, he fills this room, absolutely, but he lives in each one of us. So then when we walk out of this building, we said, don't run in this room because it's sacred, and yet we walk out of this room and remembering, okay, where is the temple of God? We walk out of this room and we put images in our heads, we put thoughts in our heads that are ungodly, unbiblical, immoral. And it doesn't just have to be lustful images of sexual images, but it can be anything that is outside of who God is. It can be anything that has to do that takes our view, that takes our mind, our thinking off of God himself. Materialism, jealousy, envy, greed, idolatry. And we think nothing of it when we walk out of the church that way, but then we say, don't run in the church. Where is this Holy Spirit grieved? Now, I'm not saying, let's run, everybody run around now, let's do some laps in here. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying, we are the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God indwells us in the person. What we bring into this temple of God grieves the Holy Spirit. I am the sanctuary. Believer, you are the dwelling place, the temple of God. So we are the temple of God, and so we make up the church. The biblical definition of church. The believers, those indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we read the coming of the Holy Spirit in miraculous and amazing form with wind and fire coming down out of the heaven. And the Holy Spirit comes with such force into the 122 believers that had met together. And can you imagine what's going on? This isn't just a light breeze, or it's not even the wind that we experience in Saskatchewan, but I believe it's bigger than that. It would have drawn everybody's attention to what is going on. People would have noticed this wind coming, this fire or flames falling down from heaven. This would have been a spectacle. This would have been amazing. And then what happens to all of those 120 people? They start to speak in different languages. And people from different places are starting to understand them. They're speaking in my own language. You see, the amazing thing about speaking in somebody's language isn't just speaking the language, but understanding the culture behind or the isms behind the words that they use. They knew all that. They knew how to. God isn't always said in the same way in every language. But all these people knew everything about the language. What are you guys drunk? You know, that's the question. What are you guys drunk? That's what it's seeming like, because there would have been rejoicing and incredible joy. And so Peter addresses the crowd and explains that what's taking place. And so he shares the good news of Jesus Christ. He shares what has happened. Let's pick up and turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And let's pick up Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. So Peter, he's preaching, he's explaining to the people what's going on, the transformation that has happened in their lives. He's explaining to these people because they're wondering, what is going on? It's absolutely incredible. It's something that they haven't seen before. So Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37, says this. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" They heard the good news. They heard what Jesus did for them, that he died on the cross for their sin. And they said, what do we do, Peter? This is amazing news that somebody would die for me, that somebody would die in my place to take away my sin. That if I believe, and so what does Peter say? He says, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Isn't that amazing? Repent. Meaning, agreeing with God that this life, this sinful life, yes, this is bad. Agreeing with God that sin is bad, and that God has, through his Son Jesus Christ, paid for that sin. Repent and believe. Followed by what? Baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then when those who had received the word were baptized that day, there was added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed, were together, and all had all things in common. And they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Again, this is an incredible picture as the church is blown into existence. It exploded onto the scene. Verse 41 tells us that 3,000 believed the word of God, believed what Jesus said was true, believed that when he died on the cross, that was enough to appease a holy God, the one true God, from the wrath that all men were deserving of. They became part of the group of 120 people that received the Holy Spirit at the beginning of chapter 2. And so the church just absolutely explodes onto this scene. But this brought about huge changes in how they lived their lives and in their relationships that they had. Look at verse 42. There's an incredible change that has happened in their lives. And it absolutely changes everything about them. It changes their priorities. It changes their motives. It changes everything. Verse 42 says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread." To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then verse 44 goes on to say, "All of those who believed were together and had everything in common." How can this be? How can everyone have everything in common? How can you be thinking the same? Because it wasn't that they were all now in a trance and we all think the same way. It had to do with the direction of their thinking, the purpose of their thinking, realizing and recognizing that the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan, is passed away. But we are living for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he is the center of our lives, we have all things in common. Verse 45 says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. This is an incredible picture of the body of believers, of the church. This is an incredible picture of who the church should be. Verse 46 says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Wow, it's incredible. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. This was all new. This was in contrast to how they had lived prior to their salvation, prior to becoming disciples of Jesus. This was not how they lived. They had their own direction. They had their own views and values, and they didn't share with everybody. They didn't have everything in common. In fact, at this point in time, people that became believers, they were at one point, they were enemies. They weren't all just Jewish people. And yet now, all of a sudden, they're having everything in common. Well, what has changed? Everything has changed. Their values, everything that was important to them previously was now unimportant. Paul expresses what Christ did for him and how he felt about his life as a follower of Jesus Christ in Philippians 3:7-8. I once thought these things were valuable, and speaking of living for the world, speaking of being zealous for the law, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. That's why they ate together. That's why they had everything in common, because nothing outside of Christ mattered. Their own success, their own popularity, their own value system of what it meant to be rich, what it meant to have property, all of that went by the wayside. One thing mattered and one thing only, and that was that Jesus Christ be made famous. He was the one thing they had in common. Now, of course, this church explosion was bigger than simply a club, a social club where people come together to meet together. And yes, I've done my thing. I went to that building. I went to church today, we could say. I did my thing. This was different. This was not a social club. This was about a change in heart, a change in life. They valued the Word of God. They were in the Word of God. They were praying. They were eating together. They were taking communion together. They were sharing their stuff with each other. And we do that as this church. I'm not saying we don't. It's been absolutely amazing to see the generosity of this church when throughout these past 2 weeks, throughout this past year with Pat's struggle with her kidney transplant. It's been absolutely amazing. This is what the church is. That when you're in need, you can, you know, it seems simple, but when people bring food to our house, it's an amazing blessing. It's humbling, though. It's humbling. But man, what a rich blessing that we have this family to look after us in this time of need. That's what happened here. That's what was happening at this church. The day before Pat went in for her transplant, I was sitting at home with the kids, and three gentlemen pulled up to our house, and they came and they shared some, you know, we talked, we had a great conversation, they prayed with me. What an amazing blessing. I don't know. Well, I think they do because they've gone through some of them have gone through some of those things in their lives. So they know and they understand the blessing it is when somebody is in need and somebody just needs to pray for them. Wow, is that powerful? That's what this church is talking about. Being together, having everything in common so that when you see somebody in need, you can go to them and you can encourage them and you can pray with them. You know what the greatest part of this was? Is there was a wide range of older gentlemen, or not older gentlemen, but you know, my age people and younger. And the two guys brought with them a young guy, a really young adult. I'm thinking, you know what an absolute amazing disciple opportunity. That's what the church is about. That's what the church is about. That's where this explosion happened. And so that's my prayer and that's desire for us, that if you're on the fringes, maybe you're new here, maybe you're not part of this church, but I know one thing that we all long for is we all long to be loved, to be accepted, and to be part of something. My prayer is that you find that here. That's why we have so many programs to meet the needs of so many different peoples, of so many different age groups. And I'm going to look at a little bit at some of the some of the ministries that we have and that you can take part of, and even the vision. I asked a couple of the people, what is your vision for this ministry? They're powerful. We're going to jump right to that. The church's mission. So what is the church? That's in a really small nutshell, the church's, who the church body is. Let me talk about the church's mission very briefly. The church's mission is to, one, preach the gospel, preach the word. Mark 13:10 says, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. That's a responsibility of the church. That's what we need to do good to all. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let's do good to all people. That's the mission of the church. So when people, I'm not saying just inside this body, well, we need to just cluster together. Let's not help anybody else. We got to help ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. Because this verse doesn't say that. But our role, our mission is to help other people. Images of the church's mission found in Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Speaking of the believer, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives it light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. John 15:5-8 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. That's the mission of the church. And we are part of the church. Each one of us is part of the church. We are those individuals. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, and ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's the mission of the church. What is the image that the world sees through you and I? Do they see that picture? There are times when the image that I have projected is disgusting, it's sinful, bearing no fruit. That's not the mission of the church. Foul. Remember in the beginning of July, I had that foul-smelling pail of food, and there's fish in there, and it was nasty. That's what I was projecting in times. We are to be light in the darkness. Now that's all good. We understand that. But what does that mean for me, for you, for each one of us? What does that mean? I want to quote Dave Wright here and part of 103, the 103 lesson. The Holy Spirit births and establishes believers in the church and his word by reflecting Christ in the form of function of the church. So what does that look like? When Christ indwells us, what does that look like? The form and function of the church. It is meaning it's talking about unity. We work together. We're not all pulling at 15 different directions and we're saying, yeah, this is a good church. There's problems with that, but it has to do with unity, with love, serving, gathering, teaching, prayer, worship, giving, integrity, discipline, baptisms, Lord's Supper, evangelizing and discipling all nations, thriving in the midst of suffering and persecution. empowering leaders to serve like Christ. So we have incorporated the ministry fair into this kickoff service today. And the purpose of having a ministry fair, what is the purpose? Oh, you just want to show off? No, no, there's a purpose behind it. We want to make as many people aware of the ministries that you can be involved in to become part of that church body that functions in unity, in love, that has everything in common, that shares together, that works together, that serves together, that loves together. There's so many things that we can benefit from in our spiritual lives in the ministries going on. Then there's another aspect. There's the aspect of how can I serve? How can I use my gifts in some of these ministries? For example, we deliberately, looking at our Connect department, we deliberately changed the name from Sunday School to Connect. And I think the question out there is why? What does it even mean? We have to understand that when we changed it, the word connect was based on a definition. And here's the definition. Connect where a real link is established. We want to be connected to the Word of God through biblical teaching. There's the connection. We want to connect with others in smaller classroom groups. That's why we're creating another adult class. The classes are getting bigger. We want to provide places where people can connect with the Word of God being taught, not only in our younger classes, but also in our adult classes, where you can connect with the Word of God, where you can connect with other people, with other believers, where you can connect with God through prayer, through teaching, and through relationship. We want to connect with each other. This whole individualistic society that's being created in our world right now is harmful. It's damaging. It's hurting us. Connecting with God. That's one of the same reasons that we value the coffee connections, coffee bars Sunday morning. People say, well, that's not a ministry. Do you know what the purpose of that is? The purpose of that is to build relationship in a non-threatening environment with a cup of coffee. Do you know how much security is in a cup of coffee when I'm holding a cup of coffee and I'm walking around? It makes me secure. I've seen so many amazing conversations happening in the lineup. In fact, one of my suggestions was to the leaders was, you know, those lineups are pretty big. Maybe we should have two tables. You know what they told me? You know the conversations that are happening there? People that are talking to each other that don't know each other. Ah, there's no need for two lineups. That's the purpose of coffee ministry. Mums group, and we talked a little bit about this earlier. Mums group is a group of mums meeting together to study God's word, to encourage each other, build relationships. And of course, now their desire is to be able to build a systematic foundation for themselves to continue to teach their children well. That's a powerful desire. So again, if you are able, check out some of the booths. Sign up where you can. Pray about looking after these children while these moms equip themselves to make disciples of their children. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an awesome cause, purpose? Youth ministry. Pastor John, why don't you make your way up here? And I want John to share one thing about youth ministry. And while he's coming up, I'm going to talk about men's ministry. Pastor Simon gave me this as their vision. Promote friendships with Christian men. Men creating relationships with other men so that men can mentor, encourage, and restore one another to become genuine disciples of Christ. John, why? What is the purpose of your ministry? What drives you?
Yeah, so the purpose of the youth ministry here at Ozer Mission Chapel, we just want to see youth love Jesus for real. And kind of what that means is you can fake it. It was really easy for me as a Christian kid that grew up in the church, a missionary kid, to pretend and do all the right things, but it wasn't really real for me. My relationship with Jesus was non-existent. It was Sunday morning only. So we want kids to love Jesus for real, not because we tell them to, not because they have to, not because you tell them to, but because they just love Jesus. And that's exciting. That's what gets me up in the morning.
And that's our youth program, and so our youth can connect. It's a mission of the church. Women of divine design. Women of divine design was created from a vision to connect women within the church and from the surrounding community, a ministry that would unite, teach, encourage, and build women up in Christ. The idea came up of a deep need for fellowship. What was happening in this church? There was fellowship, right? This is the women of divine design. This is part of their mission, their purpose. Encouragement and spiritual growth for the women of OMC. Wow. Grief Share is a ministry for those who have lost a loved one and are struggling with the grieving process. And maybe it isn't, you haven't even lost somebody in this last 6 months or the last year. Maybe it was 15 years ago. Check it out. This is for you. Refit is an important Refit is a fitness ministry. It's important to take care of our bodies, but I believe there's another aspect to this. Again, it's building friendship, it's building relationship. Refit is a program where women can come together, invite other women in the community to come together in a non-threatening way to introduce them to this building. That's the strategy. In order to make, I talked with Ken Gunther when he was here on furlough, and I said to him, Ken, how do we make disciples in our community? How do we make a difference in our community? He said, in order to make disciples in our community, people have to trust us. And how do they trust us? They trust us when they know us, when we have a relationship with them. It's about building relationship. How do we build relationship within our community? Many, many opportunities. This is one that our church is involved in. Missions. We have the opportunity to partner with those that are called into full-time ministry, both right here at home, in Canada, and across the world. Financially, we can be involved in that. Prayerfully, we can be involved in that. Communicating with them, showing them we love them and care for them when they're away and when they're home. For the sake of time, I'm not going to list every ministry. But the mission is to equip the saints for a work of service. There are opportunities to use the gifts that God has given to us. In Matthew 25, we read the parable of the talents. And I don't want to oversimplify it, but what it's the gist of it is we are to be good stewards of everything that God has given to us. I just want to read these last couple of verses here from verse 24. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away that talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has one, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have even what he does have shall be taken away. Church, there's a reality here that you and I, and this isn't about putting you on a guilt trip. There's a biblical, God-given principle here that you and I will have to give an account for absolutely everything, our time, our money, our energy, our gifts. That's what this parable is teaching. We will have to give an account. What will we say? What will I say? It's not about doing more. It's not about working harder in the church, but it's about being a faithful steward in every area of our lives. Worship team, come on up as we wrap up this morning. And so each and every one of you, I just want you to know that you are invited to join us for lunch. This is part of that church body that we saw in Acts, fellowshipping together. You know what? If you don't know someone, go talk to someone new. Introduce yourself to someone new today. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Maybe this is you, and maybe you want to pray this prayer with me today. Let's pray. God, I want to be, God, I want to be a part of this family that loves on people, that has everything in common, that shares together, that eats together, that helps each other out when we're in need. God, I surrender to you in every area of my life. I desire to be faithful to you in every area of my life. God, I pray that you would use me as you see fit. I'm scared. Not my will, but your will be done. I remember, well, I won't remember because it's 12:13. The mission of the church is also beneficial for spiritual growth, for our spiritual lives, for walking in victory. Pray this prayer with me. Maybe this is you today. Pray this prayer with me if this is you. Let's pray. God, would you grant me the desire to meet together with this church, to be accountable to people? You have promised in your word that you would give me the desire and the power, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the sin that I live in. God, I pray that I would get more involved so that I'm not alone all the time. God, I pray that you would give me the desire to do that. I don't want to be, God, I don't want to be secluded. I don't want to be stuck in my sin anymore, God. So give me the strength to join the men's group. Give me the strength to join the mums group, the women of divine design, or the young adults, or wherever you see fit. Maybe it's established. God, give me this strength. I want to be encouraged. I want to be taught by your word. I want to grow spiritually, Lord. Father, help me to encourage other people. Help me to be friendly to people in my church, in this body of people. God, we want to provide a place, a safe place, for people when they hurt and when they go through challenges. Help us to be that church that we read of in Acts. Help us to be giving. Help us to love. Help us to be and walk in unity, live in unity, with one common goal, Jesus, you. Lord God, thank you. Lord, too, we thank you for this lunch we're going to take part in. We pray that you would bless the food, bless the hands that prepared it, and bless the fellowship, Lord. We commit this to you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So just a reminder, if you have young children and you want to go and take them through, first of all, go ahead while we begin this next song, and you can grab them from children's church or childcare, wherever. And if you're older or have mobility issues and would like to go now, then please do so.